Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Roll out the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Daniel the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so swing on over there, check that out when you get the opportunity. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. And you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, all right, Dan. Well, you know, the NFL has its owners meetings going on or whatever they call theirs, and you know they've made some interesting decisions. I know they made a change to the kickoff again that I didn't look into because I was really kind of caught up in this one today. It came down that they have made a decision on the national anthem, and the new rule in the NFL is that if you are on the field, you must stand, and I believe they said show respect to the anthem. Now, if a player chooses not to do this, it will not be the player that has an issue, but the team itself will be fined. Of course, this has caused a huge uproar because they didn't consult the players' union. And what I find incredibly kind of humorous about this whole thing, Dan, is I think you and I realize at this point the whole kneeling thing is a farce because it's so far away from what it's originally intended to. But you know, Dan, that for the past, I believe it's 20 or it might even be 21 years, that the NBA has had this exact same rule and no one has said a peep about it. But when the NFL puts it in, we're all going to pull our hair out and go ape crazy.
Well, it's...
Oh, did I... Oh,
yeah, I was trying to think of a response, but I really don't have one. I didn't think it was a fine. I thought they were proposing a 15-yard penalty for the team. So
that was originally talked about, but you know, if you think about it, that would kind of be useless because what happens if both people, you know, if there's people kneeling for each team, then the penalty's offset and we replay the national anthem like they do in an actual game.
No, I mean, I think you should, you know, to not have to go around the players' union, you just punish the team.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to do.
Your first touchdown doesn't count.
So, yeah, you know, they're going to find the team, and then they're going to leave it up to the team how they want to handle the players. Now, if the players still want to protest, the NFL has given them the option of staying in the locker room while the national anthem is being played. So they could still have their form of protest because they won't be out on the sidelines. They just won't be, you know, kneeling down or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, again, I'm kind of over this, Dan. I mean, I understand what Colin Kaepernick was trying to accomplish. I think at first he got his message out, and I believe the thing that hurt him more than anything is when he had other players start to join him, because slowly but surely it just started to lose meaning, didn't it?
Pretty much, but at the end of the day, you know, Spike Lee and everybody can go boycott and protest the NFL. But again, as I repeat myself, at the end of the day, it's a private company, and you're on their time, you're on their, under their rules. So if you don't like it, well, that's too bad, because, you know, I mean, if I were to do some form of protest at work, I would have to suffer the consequences, being, be it whether I get fired or, you know, for the time that I'm out or protesting, I won't get paid. So, I mean, it's not a public game. While it's open to the public, it's a private enterprise. And the same rights as you have for the right to protest, according to the Constitution of the United States, don't apply to the players to kneel during the national anthem during a football game.
Right. And, you know, like you said, this is it's a private company. They're allowed to make their own rules. You know, there's no reason at all they can't do this. You know, if they decide this is what they want to do, it's completely on them. So I get that, maybe you're unhappy that it didn't go your way. But, I mean, let's be real here. There are so many other ways and platforms for these guys to have a voice that if they want to, they don't need this. They can go another route. You know, there are plenty of other things they can do to accomplish this. So yeah, while it's not the best thing, I don't think it's the life ending end all be all that the Players Association is going to make it. And they're just upset because they weren't brought in on the decision. So that's just how it is. In the end, it doesn't affect anything.
No, and in the end, it's not their decision. Unless, of course, when they sign the contract that to make them millions and millions of dollars, that they're not really donating or contributing to any cause that says they can do that, then they have their right. But if it's not in the contract, they really don't have the right.
Yeah, I understand why they're there to represent the players. I get it. You need that kind of representation, otherwise it would just be a ridiculous fiasco of a league. But, what's the big deal here? But yeah, I was just kind of chuckling at it, and it was like, oh boy, here we go. Are we gonna end up with another freaking court battle for the NFL because they did something? And I'm over it. I got what Kaepernick was trying to do. I don't know how much he accomplished it. Basically, the guy gave up his football career to do this. So, maybe I would side a little more with that than with these other guys. I mean, we should be talking about the fact that this guy lost his career. So.
Yeah, but I mean, the timing of his events just didn't help it. I still think there's a lot of people who really believe that he started the protest because he lost the job.
Yeah, you have to think in a way he started it to get a little attention. He had just been replaced as the starting quarterback, and you want people to talk about you. And, this was his stand. And, to be fair, he did some good, and he did use his own money which I don't know if I've seen or heard anybody else do yet. Maybe they have. I may just not know about it. So, you know, just, again, you know, one of those things. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm done with it. You know, I heard all the BS. Well, you know, the ratings. Oh, no, the ratings are down. It's killing the ratings. But yet they can't calculate ratings for streaming and, you know, other stuff like that where, you know, like you watch, you know, a lot of baseball games that way. And then, to be fair, other sports, you know, there's no way to rate that. So, you know, I mean, nobody knows if the ratings are down. The television ratings are down. But is actual viewership down? We don't know. So, it's a tired argument. It's like, really, you got to come up with something else, guys. You really do. So, yeah,
if they are down, I think it's because of the pace of play.
Oh, of course. That's why we don't watch any sports now, because nobody can deal with anything that takes more than, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to do. So, you know, God forbid you're asked to pay a little attention to something that doesn't have anything to do with yourself. So, or you don't get a trophy for being part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I would assume that Bears ratings were down this year, but I think it's because they sucked, but.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, ratings are down, you know, as a whole for everything. I mean, I've heard them say it about NASCAR. You know, I mean, I'm sure the baseball ratings are, you know, down. Like, I don't think I've actually watched more than an inning or two of a Sunday night game on ESPN just because, I haven't been into it, you know, or I've been doing other things. So they kind of lost my rating there. You know, I turned the Cub game off last night because they wanted to talk about Manny Machado in a Cub uniform instead of the actual game. So, you know, that turned me off right away. I don't know. I would assume, I believe I heard the actual NBA ratings are down because that was part of the reason for some of the Mickey Mouse Network layoffs that they went through was, you know, they overpaid to show the product and then the ratings didn't come through. So they had to make cuts to save their, you know what, well, their bottom line and their, you know what. You know, it's just the way it is. I mean, if it's not short attention span theater, it's difficult to get a millennial to pay any attention to it because, you know, it takes more than 30 minutes. I mean, I don't know how they get through their 8-hour workday. Maybe they just don't work. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say if NBA playoff ratings are down, it's because everyone knows who the two teams in the finals are going to be. So why would you watch any of the other? Even if you're into the game, what's the point of watching it? You know who it's going to be.
Well, you know, that fact that it's May and it's almost June and they're still playing basketball, that's, you know, I mean, you know, if you're going to play basketball, you're going to go outside in the nice weather and do it yourself, aren't you? You know, you're not going to stay inside and watch it on television. I mean, that's for, you know, fat old guys like me to do, not younger people who should be into the game. And, you know, the game is a huge joke now. I don't know why anybody watches it to begin with. I mean, it's dunks and three-pointers, and there's no defense. And, you know, the refs don't call the most blatantly obvious, you know, travels or double dribbles or things you're taught that are supposed to be rules. You know, they're apparently not rules in the NBA because it takes away from the excitement of the game, as Adam Silver likes to say. But then they'll issue a report, Dan, the next day and say, well, we made a mistake here, and this was really a call that we should have made. Yeah, great. My team lost. Who cares? How does that help me? You know, just keep it to yourself. I don't care now. Oh, but all right. Well, on to some bigger and better things here, Dan. We have a game 7 tonight. I'm on the right day this time. Last time I was a little early. Well, a day early to be fair. We've got the Washington Capitals at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, since it's Game 7, the series is tied at 3-3. You know, the road team has had quite a bit of success in this series. I'm assuming that bodes well for the Capitals tonight and winning.
Of course, it's definitely going to go well for them, and they're going to win to go beat up the Knights in the Stanley Cup.
Yes, and the Stanley Cup will actually start on Monday, so there will be, surprisingly, a little break in the NHL schedule. Normally, they don't do that. You know, normally it's a day or two off, and they get right at it. But, yeah, whoever wins tonight is going to get some recoup time. You know, they're going to get four actual days off. So that's a big switch for them. You know, Braden Holtby played really well in Game 6. I think the Capitals are going to need him to do that again if they're going to have success here in Tampa. I need the Capitals to win, as they were my pick in the bracket I did on NHL.com. Of course, they were supposed to be playing the Nashville Predators, who choked their way out of the playoffs, but that's a different story. Instead, we get the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So we'll have to hope the Capitals roll on. And it is an NBC Sports Network game. I'm a little surprised they didn't move it to NBC, because I think we're in rerun season now. You know, they might have done well, of course, with ratings down, Dan, being that it's a sporting event, you don't want to show it on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on your major network. But yeah, puck drop is 7 o'clock locally here for Dan and I. So it will be one of the things I flip over to with the, you know, the baseball games and everything else going on. But yeah, I definitely got to root on the Capitals. Are you going to wear your, what do you got? Is it an Ovechkin sweater you have, or who do you have?
Yeah, I have an Ovechkin jersey.
Are you going to, well, they're NHL, so they're sweaters. Are you going to wear it around the house tonight?
Most likely. I definitely have the hat on.
We don't need to tell the people that the Washington Capitals sweater will be the only thing you're wearing. They don't need to know that. We just need to know if you're going to wear it or not. Oh, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going back to your Mr. Fantasy-like comment. A sweater, it is not. It's a jersey. You know, the
I know.
Interchangeable today. The players on the ice used to wear sweaters, but now that they've been, you know, with Adidas and whatnot, they're really not a sweater when they have the mesh material with all the holes so that you're breathable. Sweater. So it'll keep me warm.
I know, but every time I use the term jersey, I get some old-time NHL guy yelling at me. So, you know, and then the one sporting event I won't be flipping over to, Dan, tonight, it's Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The series is tied 2-2. Cleveland's at Boston. It's the Mickey Mouse Network game rolling out about 7:30. You know, Dan, it's just one of those weird things, and I don't understand it. I mean, it's the playoffs. I guess I should be excited, but man, I just care so little about the NBA right now. I probably won't even turn this on, because I know when I get home in the morning, it'll be all the Mickey Mouse Network will be talking about, because they have to, because like I said earlier, they overpaid to televise these things.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I have no desire to watch it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, it's like, yeah, it's on. Great. Is the series over yet? I mean, let's get to the finals, and maybe I want to look at that, but I doubt I'm going to want to look at that. You know, like, I didn't watch a minute of last night's game, but I know the Warriors laid an egg in the fourth quarter and managed to score only 12 points. And it's odd. What I find interesting, Dan, is, when, for some reason, and I'm guessing you can elaborate on this a little more, how come when Steph Curry has a bad game, he's hurt, and everybody comes out and says he's hurt, but when he has a good game or he just plays a normal game, nobody ever says anything about it? You know, because, like, he was hurting, I think it was whatever game they lost, I think it was game 2, So he was fine in game one. He was fine in game three, but he's been hurt in games two and four. Does that mean when game six comes along, he's going to be hurt again? Well, how does this work out? Is it an every other day, every other game thing, or what do we got going on here?
Well, you know, I mean, for the two biggest stars in the game, you've got to make excuses as to why they didn't perform to their level.
Yeah, well, you know, is it to the point now where we can actually still argue that Curry is the second biggest star? Do you think maybe Kevin Durant has surpassed him with the way he played on that team, and it's really LeBron and Kevin Durant instead of LeBron and Curry, and the Mickey Mouse Network just hasn't updated their commercials yet to focus on that? We'll get that next year?
Oh, yeah, I think we'll get that next year, but I think KD still has the negativity attached to him. You know, as much as they say the haters are there for LeBron, I think he's more beloved. And I think, you know, KD going to the Warriors and not sticking out in Oklahoma still gives them that little bit of stigma where, you know, you need your East and your West, and Steph Curry always comes out looking like the squeaky clean baby face that you would want to represent the other side.
Yeah, and Durant isn't always politically correct with some of his comments either, so he gets himself in trouble there. Curry has better PR. You know, it would kind of be the way to look at it there than Durant does. But you know, that game's tomorrow. We got game five. All the series are 2-2. So they're you know, the NBA is getting what they want. The television network wants. They're stretching these things out for them, and you know, making sure it all works out for just how they want it to go. So. You know, again, like I said the other day, it's as structured, if not more structured, than a WWE match. You know, I mean, we're not, Dan and I aren't dumb. We know better. So. Oh, but being Wednesday, Dan, we had some early baseball games. We got four finals. The Brewers beat the Diamondbacks 9-2. Bruce Sutter got the win. Zach Godley got the loss. I think I heard that's the 13th of 15 losses for the Diamondbacks, 6th in a row.
You know, I have both those pitchers on one team. So
do you? Yeah, don't you love them all? That's when you're just kind of rooting for innings out of the guy who takes the loss. The Tigers beat the Twins 4-1. Michael Fulmer got the win. Kyle Gibson got the loss. Shane Green picked up the save there. In 10 innings, the Royals took the Cardinals 5-2. Blaine Boyer got the win. Bud Norris took the loss. And Kelvin Herrera picked up the save there. And then our other final, we have the Astros beating the Giants 4-1. Justin Verlander got the win. Jeff Samardzija took the loss, and he did not pitch well. I think he lost more like five guys in 4 2/3. And Ken Giles picked up the save there. We do have one game rolling along here, and looking for the here we are looking at scoring. We're in the top of the ninth, so it's almost over. The Padres are beating the Nationals 3-1. Clayton Ross started that game for the Padres, and Eric Fetty made the start for the Nationals. So if I remember when we get back on the field, I'll try to remember to tell you who wins the game before Dan and I go into the air here, but I may forget. So, yeah, you know, Dan, it's a rough night for me. I'm standing home on baby. There's no hope or no phone.
Again.
So I will go digging. Now, how did you do? You know, you had another guy who hit two bombs again last night, didn't you? Are you getting close to cashing here? You're on a roll.
Yeah, but I got my penny back. So that was about it. So hopefully I cash out.
You know, yeah, because I hit one. I think Bryce Harper won last night, so that was one for each of us. You know, your guy Justin Turner didn't help me out. I thought I had something going there, and of course, you know, doesn't do anything for me. But yeah, you know, like I said, I had to scramble. I'm not used to having to pick three guys. So tonight I'm just kind of shooting fish in a barrel here. I went with Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves. Then I got Mikel Franco in my lineup. I wanted to go with Cody Bellinger, but as I look at my lineup here, he is not starting. So I'm going to go in and attempt to find another guy. I don't know. Oh, no, wait, here's Mike Trout, Dan. I missed him. I'm going to plug Trout back in my lineup where it belongs and go with Acuna, Franco, and Trout for my guys there. So hopefully we'll be okay.
We, of course, will both need Trout to hit homers tonight. But I plugged in Baez. Because I went through the lineup like 6 times before I realized Harper wasn't in.
So yeah, it's weird that I somehow missed Trout. I don't know how I went past his game. Normally, you know, I'm pretty good about finding those guys, but yeah, I cruised right by him and didn't even notice. So, but
Trout. Since Trout and Betts hit him last night, I guess I should have went a different route, but what the hell.
Now, was Betts the guy who hit 2 for you?
No, they both hit 1. I didn't get 2 last night. No, I got Hustle and Betts last night.
Okay. So.
I did get 2, get 2 for the same guy.
Yeah, I just got the 1 from Bryce Harper. That's all I had rolling on. Just kind of how it goes with me. You'll be interested, Dan. I sent you a free roll. I don't know if you can get in it or not, because I got it as some kind of weird fan club thing. But maybe you got it anyways. It is soccer. So good luck with that. I had no idea who I was picking. You'll probably end up doing better than I will. But, you know, good luck there. I hope it works out.
Yeah, I mean, is David, whatever his name in the game anymore?
No, but you can pick Ronaldo like I did. So, you know, one of the few names I actually recognized. So,
I did try the NBA one you sent me, but it was like a $3 entry fee.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Oddly, those are the ones, you know, that you know nothing about that you normally do well in. Because, like, I have no idea who the hell I'm picking. You know, like I said, with the exception of Ronaldo. So.
Lopez? I thought he played for the White Sox.
No, this guy only has one name. He's just Ronaldo. Kind of like Fabio. Oh. Or Madonna.
I thought it was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, I think it is, but I believe they just call him Ronaldo. I don't think he gets to use his first name anymore. So.
Oh. Is this a world thing, or is this did he come to America get away from, to avoid his financial problems going in Spain or wherever he was trying
he moved to America, but I thought he was somewhere to get away from his issues there with whatever he had going on. So, you know, but yeah, you know, Dan, I'm realizing more and more why I relate to the Seattle Mariners, because I believe they have just about as many injuries as my fantasy team does. So,
I was going to say before you get into it, I was peeking at your team to try to make a trade, and I realized all you have is guys on the DL.
Yep. And I added another one. The A's put Chris Davis on the DL today. So, but yeah, you know, the Mariners just put D. Gordon on the DL. And then Paniger, he had to come out of the game. While the x-rays were negative, there's been no word on if he's going to end up on the DL. So it's quite an interesting scenario they have going on there. We'll have to see if they can kind of hold down the fort as things go on. But yeah, it's been fun. You know, not to mention the fact that, you know, Robinson Cano is gone for how many games? 80 is what he got, right?
Yeah, well, I thought he was hurt, and then he got the suspension.
Yeah, he got hurt first, and then he got the suspension. I didn't realize you could actually serve, you know, both at the same time. So, luckily, you know, he's not going to miss any, you know, any more than just the 80 games, because by then he'll be healthy. I did see they called Daniel Vogelbach back up. You know, and then today they made another move. They brought up John Andreoli, I'm guessing it's pronounced, to give them some flexibility in the outfield, because, you know, you don't really know what's going on with Haniger yet. You know, it's just been a lot of fun. And, you know, they had been reporting that Dee Gordon was going to play some second base after they originally said he wasn't. But now you don't have to worry about that happening for at least 10 days. So it's Gordon Beckham and Andrew Romine, man, in the position there, Dan. You got a lot of confidence in that, don't you?
Well, I mean, so when are they just going to make the trade for Manny?
And then they can move Segura to second base and let Manny play short.
Exactly.
So, you know, again, just one of those things where you can plug Manny into any team. So, if you don't believe me, it's really simple to do. So, you know, just pick a team, and Dan and I will plug one way or the other. So,
we should play that game next week, actually. I'll try to do a little bit of research.
And just one of those, you know, one of those fun, you know, fun stuff. But, yeah, so, yeah, I just kind of chuckled because I was like, man, they got as many guys hurt as I do. So, yeah, I was juggling my roster. I did get Josh Harrison back, so I was able to put Chris Davis on the disabled list. So I had an open disabled spot, which is always nice to have. We have five, and mine are all filled up. You know, and I realized that the jinx is carrying over into our money league team I have with Mr. Fantasy, because we have JP Crawford, Elvis Andrews, then we had Hunter Pence, who I had to cut to pick up Matt Kemp so we could get some at bats in the outfield, and I think we had one more guy. Oh yeah, Brandon Drury, who I cut because the Yankees set him down. And now we can add Jake Faria, who I had in our rotation to start this week because he was making two starts. He got hurt in his start last night. So, you know, it's just like, oh, God, now they're saying he's out 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm going to send him packing. And it's just like, I'm injury plagued, Dan. I don't know what it is. Just kind of works out for you that way.
One of my teams has one more guy than I have DL spots, so that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I think in the auction league I'm like that. I have six guys on the disabled list, and I have only five DL spots, so I'm in a holding pattern, just waiting to see if somebody's going to come off the disabled list sometime soon. Sadly, I don't think it will be Mark Melanson, as 60-day, and you and I each will be in the league, and we may never see him at all this year, but damn it, I'm still holding on to him.
Yeah, I know. Every day I look at him and think, man, I should just drop this guy, but I know if I drop him, then he's going to come back and, you know, just grab save after save after save.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, I would love to just get rid of him, but yeah, the first thing that's going to happen is he's going to go ape crazy if I do that, then, you know, it's just like, oh, God. So that's just the stuff that happens to me. But yeah, you know, I actually did have some luck. You know, I mentioned yesterday, Dan, we I don't know. I don't know. You didn't say if you got it or not, but you know, FanDuel added $5 to my account with the caveat that I spend it by tomorrow. So I went in yesterday and I did a $2 late league and I actually doubled my money. I won $4. Now the lineup I gave out on the air stunk. You know, Chris Sale pitched really well, but the lineup didn't hit for beans. So it didn't produce diddly squat. I think I got 87 points and, the majority of that was Chris Sale. Let me pull it up here and I can tell you that's how, just how big of a joke that was. But luckily I had some better luck later on. Yeah, I got a 87.7 points. Just definitely not my night there. And Chris Sale was 57 of them. So yeah, that's how that night goes. I didn't have a hitter. My highest scoring hitter was Pedro Alvarez at 6.2. So yeah, that'll tell you how kind of my night went. But you know the deal. We load them up and we go again. So here's what I got rolling out for you tonight. Where make sure I get the right lineup going here. I am going with Jacob DeGrom of the Mets as my pitcher. Now he's $10,400, but he's pitching against the Marlins. So I'm really hoping for about 7 or 8 innings and double-digit strikeouts. You know, if I don't get that out of him, I think I'm going to be very disappointed with it as an outing for DeGrom. My catcher first baseman today is Neil Walker. He's hitting 6th for the Yankees, cost me $2,500. Second base, I'm on the Ozzie Albies train again. He really hasn't produced for me, but I just can't give up on the guy. I know he's big bucks at 4,600, but he's leading off for the Braves tonight. Hopefully we will land something there. At third base, I got Christian Arroyo tonight, $2,400. He's hitting 8th for the Rays. Shortstop, I spent some more money. I'm going with our guy, Manny Machado, who we talk about every day, whether we want to or not. Cost me $5,000, but he's hitting 3rd for the Orioles tonight, and he's been super hot. Start out with my highest-priced outfielder. That would be Chad Pinder of the A's. $2,500, he's hitting 2nd for them tonight. Yes, $2,500 is the most I spent on an outfielder. Sticking with the A's, I got Steven Piscotty as my next outfielder. Cost me $2,400, and he's hitting 7th for Oakland tonight. Then I wrap up my outfield with Jesse Winker of the Reds, $2,300, and he's in the leadoff spot for Cincinnati tonight. Now, for my utility guy, I went with Dan's guy. I'm jumping on Denard Span tonight. So, yeah, I actually have 2 Tampa Bay Rays in my lineup. That's a bit of a surprise. $2,900, and he's leading off for them tonight. So I'm hoping that that pays some dividends. You know, get that extra at bat, and hopefully he'll go 2 for 5 or something like that. But here's the recap. I got Jacob DeGrom of the Mets as my pitcher, Neil Walker of the Yankees as my catcher first baseman, Ozzie Albies of the Braves at 2nd, Christian Arroyo of the Rays at 3rd, Manny Machado of the Orioles at short. I got Chad Pinder and Steven Piscotty, both of the A's in my outfield. Then my 3rd outfielder is Jesse Winker, while my utility guy is Denard Span of the Rays. So there you go. I know the league just kicked off 6:05, but it is a late swap league. So if you have to go in and make changes, you would still be allowed to as long as the game that you're trying to swap guys out of isn't playing. So we'll good luck. Hopefully it works out for you. And, you know, and we'll see how it goes. And then, you know, I mentioned, you know, home run derby. I'm going with, you know, another Brave. I got Ronald Acuna Jr., who's hitting 2nd for the Braves. Oddly, they're playing the Phillies, so I threw Mikel Franco in my lineup, who's hitting 6th for the Phillies tonight. And then, of course, I got Mike Trout. Anytime Trout or Harper's available, they're in my lineup, and he's hitting 2nd for the Angels tonight. So hopefully, you know, it pays off. It would be nice if I could win $1 on the home run derby. You know, even though I believe the payoffs are bigger and better than that, I would have taken that. I mean, I've won absolutely nothing in the, I don't even know what week this is, 3 or 4. So, yeah, that's how well I've done. But yeah, just kind of how it goes. We'll see. Hopefully I will cash a little, and I spent the rest of my FanDuel money on a couple other leagues, so maybe they'll come through as well, and you know, maybe things will work out. It would be nice for a change to win a couple more bucks.
Just hoping to keep collecting my pennies.
Oh, all right. Well, I can throw the rest of the MLB schedule at you here, Dan, since we did the one before. And that game did go final. Look at that. I remembered. The Padres did end up beating the Nationals 3-1. Give me a minute. I'll get you the winners and the losers and stuff. But some games that should just be kicking off. We got the Yankees at the Rangers. Dan's guy, CC Sabathia, starting for the Yankees tonight against Doug Fister. The Braves at the Phillies, mentioned this game before. It's Luis Gohara against Jake Arrieta. The Angels at the Blue Jays, Tyler Skaggs and Aaron Sanchez start there. The Pirates at the Reds, it's Chad Kuhl and Homer Bailey. The Marlins at the Mets, Dan Springley and Jacob deGrom. The Red Sox at the Rays, you can actually get this one on the Mickey Mouse Network app if you're paying for that. David Price and Chris Archer are starting there. The Indians coming off that drubbing of the Cubs last night, all out in Chicago again. I think it's going to go that way. They've had Adam going against Jeff Lester. The Orioles of Arsenal in Chicago, White Sox. Alex Cobb will start there against Dylan Cone for the White Sox. The Mariners are at the A's. It's Marco Gonzalez and Danny Dodson. And the night wraps up with the Rockies at the Dodgers. Kyle Freeland. Starters there you go. That's what you got going on.
Any game interest you, or are you just maybe like me and tuning into the NHL playoff, game 7?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I end up looking around, you know, to see. I mean, I like to check on the local teams to see how they're doing. You know, and I know the Cubs and the Indians are supposed to be the MLB Network game, so I may get another option there. You know, sometimes they'll show an alternative game. Hopefully I'll get that, and I'll be able to have multiple stuff to switch to. But, you know, depending on how the games go is, you know, where I kind of sit and stay. So if the hockey game is rolling, I'll stay there. But if one of the other baseball games is going strong, I switch over to there. It's just kind of how I watch. And, you know, I'm sure I'll fire the tablet up and I'll have a game going on there and, you know, be bouncing around the TV channels to see what I can find. Oh, but here I got your winner and loser from the Padre Washington game. Tyler Ross got the win for the San Diego there. Eric Fetty took the loss, and Brad Hand picked up his 15th save. So now, interestingly, Dan, you know, obviously everything is dominated by the Manny Machado trade rumors, especially here in Chicago, where the sports writers and, I believe, majority of Cubs fans already have him on the Cubs, even though I don't believe the Orioles have even mentioned anything about possibly trading him. Interestingly, one of the other rumors that I could see probably happening before anything else is the Padres moving a starting pitcher or possibly more than one starting pitcher. Now, Dan, here's basically what they got going on. Clayton Richards has made 10 starts for them. He's 3-5 over 61 innings with an ERA of 4.87. Five of his starts have been quality, though. Tyler Ross has also made 10 starts, 6 of them quality, 4-3 with the win today, and an ERA of 3.13. You know, Jordan Lyles just got back in the starting rotation. He's only made 3 starts, but he's pitching 16 games. 1-1, and one of his 3 starts is already a quality start. His ERA is 3.11. You know, these have been the big 3 names mentioned as possible Padres starters that could go. Do you have a preference? I mean, if you're a veteran team looking to add what would probably be a number 5 starter at this point, do you have a preference on one of these guys? I mean, somebody's numbers jump out, or what do you like there?
For some reason, I don't know, for whatever reason, I like Clayton Richard. You've got to wonder if with his strength and his arm and all that good stuff, if being on a more of a contending team, if his win-loss ratio would be a little better. I don't know that his ERA would go down. Well, maybe it would, but, you know, I think he would be an interesting pickup for a contending team. That's not the Cubs, because they don't really need another
pitcher. He is the only left-hand runner. So, you know, Lyles and Ross are both right-handers, and Richards is the only left-hander. You know, of course, the other name we're going to hear over and over again, just like last year, you know, is Brad Hand. He, you know, he's been in 23 games. He does have 15 saves, and his ERA is 2.08. You know, he's a left-handed closer, you know, but he's been a setup guy before, so he could fit nicely in either role. Is this the year they finally move this guy? You know, I mean, there's been talk about it for, boy, I think it's been two or maybe even three seasons now, and he's still in a Padre uniform. You know, is this the year they finally ship him off?
I mean, I think it depends a little bit more on the details of his contract.
Yeah, I'm looking
for
them right
now. How much time he has left with them. I knew I was going to go there.
He's a free agent. It looks like he's not a free agent until 2021. He is, let me get the numbers here. I love how the numbers are at the bottom. This year, Dan, he's only making $4.083 million. Next year, it jumps to $7.083 million. 2020, it's $7.583 million. And then the last year of the contract, which is 2021, it's $10 million, but there's also a buyout for just $1 million if you don't want to keep him off. He's only 28, but being left-handed, you got to figure out pitch for 12 more years, right? Because he can go till he's 40.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year, I think it's a little bit more negotiable for a team to go with a guy for 3.5 years, but I don't know. I forget who's in the office. I know there's a lot of not so positive talk. Maybe if Jed Hoyer was still there, it would be a different kind of done deal. And somehow him and Theo would just make a bunch of trades, which isn't delusion at all. But, you know, I mean, I think it's possible. You said, you know, it's been over the last couple of years. I think having to hold on to a closer for 5 years probably made it a lot harder to deal him. Where 3.5 makes it easier. But I think the more likelihood would be in the off season or by trade deadline next year.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's been really durable. He pitched in 72 games last year, 82 the year before that. So, you know, he definitely goes when they need him. So yeah, you gotta wonder if this is here maybe a Maybe Daniel comes calling. You know, he could be a nice add to the one of somebody's bullpen somewhere.
Oh yeah. I mean, even the Cubs bullpen would really help him out.
So yeah, you know, because I do wonder. I mean, obviously, you know, that's a very reasonable contract as far as baseball numbers go. You know, is it possible that the Padres just hang on to him as they, you know, as they try to do this rebuild? You know, they got Hosmer locked up. They got your guy Will Myers locked up. If he could just ever freaking stay healthy. You know, they have some young guys that, you know, look like they have a chance to develop. You know, Villanueva over at third is, you know, shown some, you know, some talent there. And, you know, Manuel Margot is, you know, by all accounts supposed to be a major league center fielder. You know, I've heard a lot of guys who like Jose Perella. It's just finding a position for him. So, yeah, is it possible they just kind of sit on this guy and be like, yeah, we're gonna keep him as we rebuild?
Well, and I think that's why it's kind of iffy, why it's hard to make a decision on whether he would be gone or not. I think it's one of those where you'd almost have to more or less blow them away. You know, kind of almost in retrospect to what the White Sox did. You know, it's like, hey, yeah, we've got these guys, but, you know, Eaton, Sale, and who else was it? I don't know that the Cubs really blew the White Sox away. I don't know. Because it was, you know, quality prospects that really have no room on the Cubs to grow. So, you know, I don't really know that they blew them away with that one, but definitely the Red Sox and the Nationals kind of blew them away. So I would think that it would have to be more of a deal like that for them to really, for it really to be positive and work in their side.
Yeah, the Cubs definitely blew them away. It just happened to be players the Cubs had an excess of, you know, that they were able to deal without. You know, to be fair, you know, the Nationals had that too. You know, they had given up on Giolito. He had a couple looks at the major league for them and wasn't very good. And Lopez was in the same boat. He had had a chance, and they for whatever reason, weren't interested in him, or maybe he was just kind of the key to the deal and he was somebody they had to give up. So, you know, they were dealing for what they believed was a position of strength as well. So, you know, the Red Sox, I don't know. You know, I mean, I guess in a way it was because, you know, they still had Pedroia sitting at second. So I don't know where they would have played Moncada, but, you know, that's the idea of having prospects, right? They're supposed to be there, you know, as you move along with this so you can decide what you're doing with your veteran guys.
Yeah.
You know, or use as trade bait.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what I think prospects really have become nowadays. You know, unless you do like the Tigers and actually play the prospect, you know, what do you really get out of it?
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully it'd be nice if we see some of the White Sox prospects showing up to play soon if they're really going to, you know, kind of redo this. I mean, that's what really made the Astros and the Cubs rebuild, and now the Braves is, you know, they're actually playing the guys that they traded for. With the exception of Moncada, I think, you know, well, Lopez and Giolito. But other than that, you know, you're not seeing some of these guys that, you know, you hear great things. I mean, you know, how many times have we heard how great Eloy Jimenez is? But we haven't seen him, so, you know, what do we really know?
Well, I think you're jumping it a little bit because he's been hurt, so that's why we're not going to see him, you know?
Yeah, he's healthy and up here. Oh, so.
Yeah, he can't play when he's not, you know, healthy, so. But I mean,
that's not my fault.
At the same time, I mean, you know, they're not going anywhere this year.
No. So, but you know, that's kind of my thing though. I always thought that was a better way to develop guys is get them up here and get them at bat. You know, but then, you know, because sometimes I forget that this actually is a business. They don't want to eat up their, you know, their arbitration eligibility on teams that aren't going anywhere. You know, because in reality, Chris Bryant probably could have been up a year before the Cubs brought him up. You know, I mean, that would have been kind of handy. But, you know, all they were doing was saving time. You know, and I mean, the Phillies did it with the show. I mean, that's what teams do. I mean, is it a smart move? Yes, but it sucks for the fans.
Yeah, and I think especially with the Sox situation, I mean, bringing these kids, all these kids up at the same time, do you really want to shake their confidence? You know, sometimes, even if it is in the minor leagues, if they're, you know, on more of a winning percentage, you know, it might give them that little boost of confidence. You know, but I do think, you know, from what I've read from the White Sox emails, you know, Kopech and Steves have been doing pretty well. Just a matter of, you know, will we see them in September? I really hope to see them next year. But, you know, I think right now with who they have on the playing field, I think you really kind of run them out and see how they're doing. I would say though, the only advantage the White Sox have on the Astros and the Cubs was they didn't have to tank it for, you know, 5 years or whatever. You know, they were able to acquire high quality prospects through, you know, spectacular trades. I mean, I don't know if you could call them anything else but that. But since we did get talking about it before we ran out of time, I heard one of the dumbest comments about the Quintana trade. And, you know, it just amazed me again that professionals in the media would even think this way or have any sense of, you know, what a business is run like, especially if they have, you know, access to the teams on a media level. If Quintana doesn't work out for the Cubs and he just fizzles out and doesn't really go anywhere, they were implying that this would hurt any kind of future trading between the two organizations. Now, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I think that's one of the dumbest things I've heard. What would hurt, you know, any future trading between the two organizations is if, you know, Rick flat out ripped off Theo, but, you know, these are smart guys and they're, you know, in the front office. So they know what they're doing. And I don't think they're going to go for a deal that they don't think is in their best interest. And if Quintana doesn't work out and become, you know, a World Series pitcher, championship pitcher for the Cubs, I don't think that hurts them making future deals aside from, well, you really don't have what we're looking for and they don't have what we're, you know, we're looking for. Are you in the same boat? Do you really believe that this may hurt their future deals?
I mean, are Theo and Jed going to hold a grudge because it didn't work out? I mean, when they made the deal, it was what the Cubs needed. You know, they needed a starting pitcher, and White Sox had a starting pitcher. You know, I mean, it's not like the Sox looked down and said, hey, you have to give me these guys. You know, I mean, it was an agreed upon deal. Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I get maybe you're a little more wary, but I don't think it diminishes the idea of making a deal at all, you know, between teams.
Well, and it cracked me up because they make it seem like, you know, these deals happen all the time. You know, trades, while the trading deadline happens, it's not like the Cubs are going back and forth with one specific team. I mean, except for the Red Sox. But you just have to have Red Sox in your resume to be a qualification to join the Cubs. But, I just thought it was the dumbest thing. I mean, if you've got a trade or an opportunity to get a guy and they've got a guy and, you know, it works both ways, I think that's what makes the deal. But if this doesn't work out and Quintana just completely stinks, I don't think it hurts their
relationship. I'm going to go to the next one.